الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى mentions the creation of the human being in various places in the glorious Quran. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينَ. I have created the insan, the human, from clay. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينَ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينَ. Then we turned this clay into nutfa, into a sperm. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً. Then we turned the sperm into a clot of blood. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُدْغَةً. Then we turned this clot of blood into a piece of flesh. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُدْغَةَ عِظَامًا. Then we turned this piece of flesh into bones. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. And thereafter we covered these bones, the skeleton, with flesh. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٍ. And through this procedure, we created a completely new creature. A complete new creature. From clay to this small baby human. Or from a sperm to this baby human. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ وَأَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Great is Allah, who is the best of the creators. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how He creates the human in the womb of the mother. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينَ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينَ. Clay, then sperm. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً, clot of blood. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُدْغَةً, piece of flesh. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُدْغَةَ عِظَامًا, skeleton. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا, we cover the skeleton with flesh, skin. And here you have a complete new creature, the human. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ وَأَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Great is Allah. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ, great is Allah, who is the best of the creators. أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Some mufassirin have stated that this statement, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ, is from the muwafaqat of the great sahabi Umar radiyallahu anhu. Muwafaqat. Muwafaqat means there were many instances in the life of Umar radiyallahu anhu where he said something and the same words were revealed as Quran. So Umar radiyallahu anhu was sat in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was dictating these words to the scribe. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was experiencing the wahy, and all the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in were respectfully sat in his gathering. When Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam left after conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as per his habit, called one of the scribes to come forward, and he said, write. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُدْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُدْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم reached up to here, Umar said, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ وَأَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Great is Allah, who is the best of the creators. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the scribe that write what Umar said, because that is what Jibreel said. The child has yet to come into the world. Allah mentions only the creation of this human in the womb of the mother. Thereafter the child will come into this world. Childhood, infancy, teenage, youth, middle age, old age, and then death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions only the beginning of the creation of the human. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. No childhood, no infancy, no youth. No teenage, no youth, no middle age, no old age. After mentioning the beginning of the human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes direct to the end of the human being. ثم انكم بعد ذلك لميتون. O humans, this is your beginning. Thereafter, summa innakum ba'da dhalika, thereafter, lamayyitun, you will all die. In other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the creation of the human in another style. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the beginning and the end. The commentators of the Quran have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the end immediately after the beginning to remind the human that you only come into the world, into this world, to return to the hereafter again. You are coming into this world is to return to the hereafter. So your goal is your death. That is your goal. Your goal is your death. Your goal is preparation for your death. So I have created you. Childhood, infancy, teenage, youth, middle age, old age, these things are not important. These are all stations, not destination. Destination is death. Because it is after death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide your ultimate fate, Jannat or Jahannam. So always keep this in your mind, that death is my goal. Death is my goal. My life will start upon death. My real life, my true life will start upon my death, the everlasting life. When a child is born, the azan is called out in the right ear. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Hiya ala al-salah, Hiya ala al-salah, Hiya ala al-falah, Hiya ala al-falah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. And the iqamah is called out in the left ear. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Hiya ala al-salah, Hiya ala al-salah, Hiya ala al-falah, Hiya ala al-falah, Qad qamati al-salah, Qad qamati al-salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. And the salat of this Adhan and Iqamah takes place after we die. Salatul Janazah. There is no Adhan or no Iqamah before the Salatul Janazah. The Adhan and the Iqamah of Salatul Janazah is called out when we are born. Why? To make us understand that the time between your birth and your death is as short as the time between the Iqamah and the Salat. As soon as the Muazzin says, Qad qamati salah, Qad qamati salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, the Imam will say, Sawu sufufakum, straighten your rows, stand together, make sure your saf is straight, Allahu Akbar. 1 minute, 1.5 minute, half a minute. So this worldly life in comparison to the hereafter is not so long. So the azan has been called out, iqamah has been called out, the salah may take place any time. So remain prepared all the time. Remain prepared all the time to depart from this world. Malakul maut may descend any time from the heavens to extract our ruh. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma used to say, Kaifa nafrah? How can we rejoice? Wal mawtu min wara'ina wal quburu amamana. When death is just behind us and the grave is just in front of us. Death is behind us, grave is in front of us. وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّنَا مَوْقِفُنَا وَعَلَى السِّرَاطِ مُرُورُنَا. When? Soon we will be standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will reckon us for every single moment of our lives. And when we will have to cross the sirat under which lies Jahannam. So how can we rejoice when death is behind us? How can we rejoice when Qabr is in front of us? How can we rejoice when soon we will find ourselves standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will reckon us for every second of our lives, who will reckon us for everything we said, everything we did? And how can we rejoice when we have to cross the sirat under which lies the fire of Jahannam? So a mu'min always remains on his toes for as long as he is in this world. He does not relax. كيف نفرح؟ How can we rejoice? How can we relax? How can we enjoy? إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, save yourself from relaxing and enjoying. And when I say don't enjoy and don't relax, what I mean is, don't enjoy or relax in a way where you become ghafil. Ghafil, where you become neglectful of your objective. And that is the type of enjoyment and relaxation and unwinding we engage in. We completely forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We completely forget the purpose of our lives. Relax, enjoy, give yourself time to breathe. There are so many things that a person can enjoy in this world, remaining within the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the intention is correct, Allah will reward us for these enjoyments that we engage in. But make sure you do not become ghafil. Ghafil. Make sure you don't forget the purpose of your life. Make sure you don't forget the purpose of your creation. Make sure you do not forget the pleasure of your Creator. Do not indulge in giving pleasure to your nafs to such an extent that you forget the pleasure of the Creator, the one who has created you, the one who has granted you everything that you have. إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمْ. Stay away from relaxation, stay away from enjoyments. Why? فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ. Because the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not spend their time relaxing and enjoying. They spend all their time working hard so that they are able to relax fully in the everlasting life. It's like a person who is working 7 days a week, 6 days a week, from 8 till 6, sometimes from 8 till 8, during a particular season, when he can earn a lot of money, he opens his shop 8 in the morning, he closes his shop 8 in the evening, sometimes 9, 10, 11, 12. Like the shop owners in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, during the month of Ramadan, during the days of Hajj, they spend 24 hours in their shops. During those days, they sleep in the shop. Some of them work for 24 hours. They go to sleep and the customers wake them up. And they say, I want this, they sell and go to sleep again. Nobody says that he is a fool. Nobody says he is a fool that for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, he will not relax. He will not enjoy himself. He does not go and see his wife, his children. He's got no time for anybody. He's dry. He's extreme. No. But the person who says, enjoyment is for the hereafter, relaxation in the hereafter, let me do something for my Creator, People say he is very dry, he is very extreme. If somebody gives sacrifice for worldly gains, worldly pleasures, nobody says he is extreme. People say he is very intelligent, very clever, he is making the most out of this season. But if somebody focuses on the hereafter, whilst fulfilling the rights of his wife, rights of his children, rights of his parents, or he takes permission from them and they give away their right or part of their right and they say we are happy with whatever you are doing, because if we give a little bit of sacrifice with you, we will also become part of what you are doing. Then we feel this person is very extreme, very dry. Why can't we understand that he is also striving for a gain and for a status, and that gain and that status is at the hereafter? This little time that Allah has granted us, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, that is if we live till this age. It could be only 20. There are so many young people sitting here who are below 20. May Allah grant all of you and myself and all our associates, all our dear and near ones, long lives, and grant us the tawfiq to do so many good things that will bring the pleasure of Allah. But it's not necessary that we will live more than 20. It's still necessary that we will cross the teen. No, there is no guarantee. Those of us who are in our 20s, it is not guaranteed that we will cross our 20s. There are so many young faces I see here who have themselves witnessed incidents in this very city, in this very area, where healthy people have passed away at the age of 20, 25, 30, 40. They're friends. They're very friends. And they have buried them long time ago. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago. Young, healthy people. People left over shocked. This person has passed away. Suddenly. So this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, whether we live till 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever it is only a few moments. Just like the moments between Iqama and the Takbir of the Imam. A few moments, a few seconds. And if it is only a few moments and a few seconds, then it is not difficult to look after it. If it is only a few moments and a few seconds, it is not difficult to give that sacrifice. A student of university or college works very hard during his examination days. And psychologically, how does he prepare himself? It's only a matter of 3 weeks. The sacrifice of 3 weeks only. So Allah gives us this comfort that when you go into the life hereafter, the everlasting life, and when you turn back and look at your 60 year, 70 year life, it will seem just like a few moments. So just give this little bit of sacrifice. Little bit of sacrifice. I have mentioned this before to you also. That in order to understand how long 1 year is, don't look at 2014. Look at 2013. We are in the last minute of 2013. Last minute of 2013. We have left 2013. And we have entered 2014. In order to understand how long a whole year is, how long 365 days are, how long 12 months are, how long 52 weeks are, don't look at 2014.
Because 2014 looks very long. 2014 is same as 2013. There is no difference. 2014 is not longer than 2013. They are both same, exactly same. In order to understand the length of 2014, look at 2013. Let us all look at 2013 now, sitting here. 2013, just gone. Just gone a few seconds ago. How long does it look? And add 2012 with it, 2 years, how long do they look? And then add 2011, how long do they look? And I am 51, let me add all 51 years, put them together. These 51 years look shorter than 2014. Friends, let us not deceive ourselves that I've got a long way to go. No. Just as 2013 is lost today, after 12 months, which is after a few moments only, it will seem just like a few moments next year when we are sitting here at this time, that there were only a few moments of 2014. We will lose 2014 as well, 2015 as well, 2016 as well, and suddenly we will find that I am standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empty-handed. Only Allah knows whether we will live till 2015 or not. Let us value 2014. And 2014 is very long as well at the moment, 12 months. And it is 2 minutes past 12. So the time before 2 minutes past 12 is gone. And the time after 2 minutes past 12 is still to come. So the time that is gone is not with us. And the time that is to come is not also with us. So these are both possibilities and probabilities. The only sure time that we have is the present. Is this every second that is ticking away. So make use of every second. Because that is the only reality. Ho rahi hai umr, misle barf kam. Ho rahi hai umr, misle barf kam. The life is decreasing like the melting ice. Chupke chupke, quietly quietly. Rafta rafta, slowly slowly. Dam badam, breath by breath. Make use of the ice before it melts. Once it has melted, you will not be able to do anything about it. Make use of your age before it melts. Once it melts, you will not be able to do anything about it. Maybe you can put the water that has melted back into the freezer and make it into ice. But once life is gone, you cannot get it back. Time, life, months, weeks, days, minutes, hours, seconds. This is one asset that is always moving, rolling. And once it's gone, it never comes back. So let's say we have somebody who is 60 years old. We have somebody who is 30 years old. Somebody who is 20 years old. Somebody who is 18. Different ages. And let us say that somebody who is 60 makes a firm resolution that from today I will live a good life. And he lives a good 10 years, completely in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him status in Jannatul Firdaus in the hereafter. But the 60 years he has wasted, they gone. Despite him being in Jannah, the 60 years he has wasted, if he had utilized those 60 years, he would have been somewhere else in Jannah. Once we have wasted our time, wasted is gone. So let not this thought play with you that, oh, I still have time, I will repent and I will make myself better and eventually. No. No. First thing is only Allah knows whether we will be able to repent or not, whether we will be able to live till that time or not. And if we do evil, if we repent and make our life better, that life is gone. That time is gone. So my young friend, let us make this firm resolution that from today, we will value each and every moment, each and every second of our life. Each and every moment, each and every second of our lives should bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every moment, each and every second of our lives should elevate us in the court of Allah, in Jannatul Firdaus. Not that I am in Jannah, Alhamdulillah, because I valued 15 years of my life, I wasted 60. I valued 10 years of my life, I wasted 30. Or I valued 30 years of my life and wasted 10, but I find myself in Jannah. No, that will be a lower category. And what do we have to do? Simply focus on the hereafter. Focus on Jannah. Focus on safety from Jahannam. Focus on the pleasure of Allah. Focus that one day I am going to die. Focus on that life hereafter and control our desires, our base desires. That is what we have to do. Nothing else. Very simple. Sheikh Saadi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great poet and a very pious personality, he used to say that Jannah is not very far. Jannah is only two steps away. Take the first step, put it on your base desires and lawful desires. Desires that make you do things that displeases Allah. Put your foot on those base desires. Control those base desires. Your second foot will be in Jannah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that person who feared standing in the court of his Rabb, that person who feared that one day I will be standing in the court of Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me for each and every second of my life. لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَ إِبْنِ آدَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسَلَانْ خَمْسْ عَنْ عُمُرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَى Each and every moment of your life, where did you spend? وَأَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَبْلَى And specifically a question will be asked regarding our youth. Because in youth we do so many things which we are not supposed to do. We become insane. Youth is madness. أَشَّبَابُ شَعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْجُنُونَ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Youth is madness. Jawani diwani. Yehi tujhko dhun hai rahu sab se bala. Ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. Yehi tujhko dhun hai. This is your only obsession when you are young. Your only obsession when you are young is rahu sab se bala. I want to be the best. Only I want to be the best. I want to look the best. I want to be treated as the best. I want to be seen as the best. Everybody should listen to me. Everybody should obey me. Everybody should fulfill all my wants, desires. They should submit to me. Yehi tujhko dhun hai, rahu sabse bala. I want to remain right at the top. I want to be the king. I want to be the coolest. My mother should not become an obstacle for me. My father should not become an obstacle for me. My uncles should not become an obstacle for me. My siblings should not become an obstacle for me. My teacher, anybody in the community, police, nobody should become an obstacle. Whims and desires are my only objectives. Yehi tujhko dhun hai rahu sabse bala. I want to remain right at the top. Ho fashion nirali. Ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. I want to be unique in my adoration, in my adorning, adornment. I want to be unique in my adornment, I want to be unique in my fashion. Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the poet, after saying this, yehi tujhko dhun hai rahu sabse bala ho zinat nirali ho fashion nirala nice car flashy car everything has to be flashy nice Even if I have everything in my home, if I see something new in the market that I like, I want to buy it at the cost of anything. Yehi tujhko dhunhe rahu sabse bala ho, zinat nirali ho, fashion nirala. Khaja sahab asked, jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala? The one who is going to die one day and sooner rather than later, is this the type of life he lives? The one who is going to die, the one who is going to lie motionless on his bed, the one who is going to lie motionless on the board where he is going to be given his final ghusl, the one who is going to be shrouded and he will not be able to even say that, my arm is twisted, please make it better for me. I'm not comfortable with my head or with my neck, please do something. The water is too hot, the water is too cold. Motionless. The one who will be put into a coffin, the one who will be carried on his janaza, on his bier, the one who will be taken to the qabrastan, the graveyard, the one whose salatul janaza will be performed, the one who will be lowered in the grave, the one who will be covered with soil, the one who will be left in the darkness of the grave alone to answer the munkar nakir, and the one whose body will slowly, slowly rot, the one who will become the food for worms, the one who will turn into blood and pus, the one who will smell foul, the one who will remain a skeleton, the one who will be punished in the grave, punished on the day of Qiyamah, punished in Jahannam. Jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala? The one who is going to die one day and cross all these stations, is this the type of life he lives, that I want to be the coolest in Highfield? I want to be the coolest in the whole of Leicester? No. A person who has to cross all these stations will remain humble until, he will remain humble until Allah grants him his book of deeds in his right hand, and Allah will say that you are from the people of Jannah. That is the time he will feel proud and he will say, "How mukra'u kitabiyah? Read my book of deeds. Inni zanantu anni mulakin hisabiyah. I believed that the day of reckoning was going to come and I had made preparations for this day." فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ He will be in a very, very happy life. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ In high mansions in Jannah. قُتُفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ The trees in the orchard of his Jannah will be so much laden with fruits that he will not even have to climb the tree or use any tool to bring down the fruits. The branches will be so low because of the so many fruits on it, that whilst walking he will just pick the fruits. قُتُفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ And the angels will say, when they will see him enjoy in Jannah, كُلُوا وَشَرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ Eat and drink and enjoy. Allah has granted you this Jannah for the sacrifices you gave in that little world, in that short period, in that little world. Let us, my friends, not brush aside the thought of death. Let us not brush aside, my friends, the thought of death, or the grave, or the day of Qiyamah, or the Pulsirat or Jahannam. Because this is the thought that acts as a catapult. And it brings us near to Deen, it keeps us away from filth and evil, and it makes us pleasing in the eyes of our Creator. Let us remember death, let us go to the graveyard. Let us look at the grave. Let us try to take lessons from the people who are lying there. So, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ One who fears that one day he will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, what does he do? Because when you remember the akhirat and the death, it becomes very easy to control your base desires. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى and he controls his base desires. What will Allah grant him? فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Jannat is his abode. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وَعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. That Jannat which is promised to those people who have taqwa. And who are the people of taqwa? Those who are able to control their base desires. They are able to control their gazes. They are able to control their gazes from non-mahram ladies, non-mahram men. They are able to control their gazes from television sets, from filthy things on the internet. They are able to control filthy thoughts entering their hearts and minds. They are able to control their tongues from speaking which displeases Allah. They are able to control their unlawful desires, their lustful desires, when they are in public and when they are alone. These are the people of taqwa. Allah will grant them Jannah. What type of Jannah? فِيهَا نَهَارٌ مِمَّا إِنْ غَيْرِ آسٍ. In which rivers of pure water will be flowing. Pure water. Water which never changes. Which never becomes foul. Which always remains fresh. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ لَبَلِ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ تَعْمُ. Allah will grant them paradise, Jannah, in which rivers of milk will be flowing. Milk, the taste of which will never change. It will never become foul. It will never smell. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ خَمْرِ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Allah will grant them gardens wherein rivers of very tasty wine will be flowing. لَا يُسَدَّعُونَ عَنْهَا وَلَا يُنْزِفُونَ. People will not experience headaches, dizziness after consuming that wine. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. Allah will grant such people who control their desires, base desires for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will grant them such gardens wherein rivers of pure honey will be flowing. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And for them will be fruits of every type. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them forgiveness from any small mistakes that they have committed. Let us go from here with this firm resolution, my friends, that 2014 is Allah's. 2013 was for shaitan and our base desires, nafs. 2011 was also for shaitan. 2010 was also for shaitan. 2009 was also for shaitan. 2014 will be for Allah and Allah only. Only for Allah. 2014. The January of 2014 only for Allah. And the 1st of January only for Allah. And the first hour of the 1st of January is Alhamdulillah only for Allah at the moment. And the first minute of the first hour of the 1st of January, Alhamdulillah, it was only for Allah. So the first second of the first of hour of the first minute of the first hour of 1st January was for Allah only. And then the first minute of the first hour of the 1st of January was for Allah only. And Alhamdulillah, the first hour of the first of day of the 1st of January is going to be for Allah only. Inshallah, the 1st of January will be for Allah only. The first month of 2014 will be for Allah only. And the whole of 2014 will be for Allah only. And if we make a mistake, because shaitan is our enemy, he will not leave us alone. Just as we are making this firm resolution, the shayateen are also making firm resolutions that no, 2014 will be ours also. So a battle. Let us put up a battle in 2014. Until 2014 we had surrendered. Now let us put up a battle. 2014 is going to be for Allah. And if overcome, because in a battle sometimes you go forward, sometimes you go backward, forward, backward, forward. If we do go backward, and as soon as we realize that I'm moving backward, and 2014 was supposed to be for Allah, repent, make tawbah and move forward again. In a boxing ring, in a wrestling ring, in a battlefield, those who have to retreat
They don't count how many times I have retreated and I'm still trying to go back again. No. Their only objective is I have to go forward. Whether it is 100 times, whether it is 1,000 times, whether it is 100,000 times, whether it is 1,000,000 times. My objective is to move forward. This is what we need to do. If shaitan pushes us, forces us to retreat once, twice, thrice, every time, move forward, 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 tawbah, repent, Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Ghaffar. Say, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me. I am starting again because 2014 is for you and it is only for you. Everybody makes this firm resolution. Brothers listening at home, sisters listening at home, people listening far and wide throughout the country abroad. Let us all make this resolution that 2014 is going to be for Allah. And thereafter 2015 is for Allah, 2016 is for Allah, 2017 is for Allah. Inshallah the whole life is going to be for Allah. Our life is for Allah. If our life is for Allah, our death will also be for Allah. Life is for Allah, death is for Allah. If we live our lives according to the pleasure of Allah, we will die our death according to the pleasure of Allah. Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala, in his last moments he is saying, Ya Kareem, O Kareem, Ya Kareem, O the generous one, Ya Kareem, O Kareem, Ya Kareem, O Kareem, Ya Kareem, O Kareem, and he departs. My late mentor, Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, he is traveling from Sakkar to Karachi, and Malakul Maut came whilst he was in his journey. And he is very close associate. His attendant, Dr. Sabir, who also passed away in a very young age. He was there, he said, I saw Hazrat in his final moments. He was lying there with his eyes wide open and he was saying, Makkah, Medina, Makkah, Medina, Makkah, Medina. And he said, I was trying to talk to him, speak to him. What's happening to you? Are you okay? Do you need anything? Are you feeling pain anywhere? But no, his eyes were focused and he was not paying any attention to whatever I was saying. Makkah, Medina, Makkah, Medina. Dr. Sabir said that it seemed as if he was actually looking at Makkah and Medina. Because he had a lot of love for Makkah and Medina. Despite his healthy conditions, every year he used to try and go and visit Haramain Sharif even 3 times at least. If we live our lives according to the wishes of the Creator, we will die according to His wishes. And if we live our lives according to the displeasure of the Creator, my friend, complete neglect, no regret, no remorse, no effort for deen, no effort to rectify ourselves, we will die a death which will bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may find ourselves dying whilst watching a film, whilst listening to music, whilst consuming alcohol, whilst engaged in adultery, fornication, gambling. It is possible. It is possible. So let us control our base desires and lawful desires. Duniya ki rang reliyon pe na jana e dil. O heart, do not incline. The poet says, Duniya ki rang reliyon pe na jana e dil. O heart, do not incline towards the glitters and the glamour of the world. Why? Because this worldly life is autumn compared to the life hereafter, which is spring. Spring is beautiful, autumn is not. This worldly life is autumn in comparison to the hereafter, which is spring. But the poet says that this world comes in front of us disguised as a spring. It is autumn, but it always comes disguised as a spring. So he says, Duniya ki rang reliyon pe na jana e dil, O heart, do not incline towards the glitters and the glamour of the world. Ye to khaza hai, it is autumn. Ye to khaza hai jo ba andaaz e bahar aayi hai. It is autumn that has come to you disguised as spring. It is not spring. So let us embed in our hearts and minds this thought that this worldly glitters are useless. They are not what they look. They are not what they seem. Whenever in the past we have done something unlawful to please our nafs, for how long did that pleasure remain with us? Before actually engaging in that pleasure, it was something so great, so cool. I want to chill out. It's so nice, it's so good. A person needs to unwind. And as soon as that unlawful desire comes to an end, what are you left with? Hazze guna me, jab guna tu kar chuka, phir kuch nahi. Hazze guna me, jab guna tu kar chuka. Once you have committed the sin, hazze guna me kuch nahi. There is nothing. There is nothing in the enjoyment of disobedience to Allah once you have finished with that sin. Hazze guna me, jab guna tu kar chuka, phir kuch nahi. Ek zara si der ka hai ye maza, phir kuch nahi. This maza, this lazzat, this enjoyment is only for a little while. After that it is nothing. It is like a bubble that just bursts. And when you do something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go back 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, flashbacks of your Hajj, Umrah, all the toiling that you did on the 10th of Zulhijjah, you are coming back from Muzdalifah, you are going towards Mina, you are tired, you could hardly walk, you are carrying. Even today when you think about it, you enjoy. Think about adultery, think about fornication, think about the films that you have watched, think about the consumption of alcohol, gambling. How do you feel inside? You feel filthy. When the sinful activity is over, it's bubble gone. And when you turn for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever you think about it, you find so much happiness. And that happiness will remain with us until we breathe our last. At the time of death, we will see all 8 doors of Jannah open before us. We will see the Malaika of Rahmah descending upon us, my friend. And they will say, وَابِشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. They will point towards the 8 doors of Jannah and they will say that the ulama through the Quran and the Ahadith, the du'at and the muballigin through the Quran and the Ahadith, the mashayikh through the Quran and Hadith always used to promise you Jannah. That is the Jannah that they were promising you. وَابِشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. And before the last breath or during the last breath, a person will be able to see his own abode in Jannah from here. And the angels will say, don't worry, don't worry. Ahmad will not come with you anymore. Mufti Ayyub Sahib will not be with you. Mamaji will not be able to give you company. Shafiqur Rahman will not be with you. Habibullah cannot come with you. But do not despair. You have new friends. We angels, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We are your friends in this world. We will be your friends in the grave on the day of Qiyamah, we will be with you, don't worry. If we give in to our desires, unlawful desires, we are giving away the big jannat that Allah is going to give us. And if we control our base desires and not give in to our nafs, this unlawful lazzat of this world, then that big jannat is waiting for us. We have to decide, my friends, which one do we want, the enjoyments of a few seconds, which will leave with us nothing but regrets, or enjoyments of the everlasting life in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So, leave the past behind us. Let us move forward. When a person sincerely repents, Allahu Akbar. When a person sincerely repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his past sins and grants him reward. And as I said, earlier, that if you repent now, then your past is wasted now. You will not be able to get anything for the past. No, sometimes when a person is very, very sincere, and he sincerely repents and he, with lot of regret, and he makes use of the coming life, the coming moments, and he says, no, I must do as much as I can in the time that Allah has granted me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transforms his evil deeds into good deeds.
إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا.
That person who repents and who remains firm with iman, وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, and he continually engages in good amal that pleases Allah, and he subjugates his unlawful desires, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. These are the people for whom Allah will transform their evil deeds into good deeds. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. So the first level of those people who make a firm, I am concluding now, the first level of those people, there are two levels of people who repent and who make a firm resolution that from today my future life is for Allah, no more unlawful desires. First level of people, their tawbah is sincere, so their good deeds, the first of which is tawbah, these good deeds will wipe out their evils. And if a person is very very sincere, and after repenting he works very very hard, he tries his utmost to stay away from evils, and he tries to carry out as many good deeds as possible, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not only wipe out his evil sins of the past, Allah transforms those very evil sins into good deeds. So his coming life will make even the past better. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam Abdullah ibn As'ad al-Yafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has compiled a book called At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. There are two ulama who have compiled books with the same name, At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. One is Allama Mundiri, rahimahullah ta'ala. And the other is Allama Abdullah ibn As'ad al-Yafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has quoted a very beautiful incident in this book of his. He has said that there was a lady once upon a time who suffered poverty and who was undergoing many difficulties, financial difficulties, poverty. But once the poverty overtook her, and one day passed, nothing to eat, second day nothing to eat, she was a widow, third day nothing to eat, and 3 days passed and her children were at the brink of dying. So she left her home in search for food, and a young man who was not very pleasant, who was always fulfilling his unlawful desires, no fikra of the hereafter, his mother was also sick and tired of him. He met her and he knew the difficulties that she was going through. So he said, any problem? She said, yes, I am facing a problem. My children are suffering from hunger and they could depart from this world at any moment. Now when a person engages in sinful activities, the hearts become very hard. They have no mercy, such people. So he said, if you let me fulfill my desire with you, then I can assist you. So she said, I had expected something better from you than this. I had expected something better from you than this. We live in the same area, same locality. You know my condition. I am a woman without any support. And the hard times I'm going through. And I'm telling you that it's been 3 days since my children have eaten, and myself also. And at this time you are asking me to let you fulfill your unlawful desires with me? No, that will never happen. This shook him. He became very regretful, remorseful, embarrassed. And he said, take this money. He gave money to the lady. He heard this lady. He said, I'm sorry, please take this money. And he returned home in that embarrassed state. And he said to his mother that, Mom, today I have done something which will please you. What have you done, my son?
He said, I have done this. Mother became very happy. Now he had a notebook in which he would write down anything wrong that he would do. All the filth. Today I have done this, today I have done this, today I have done this. For what reason only Allah knows, but he would write down. And his mother knew. So the mother said, in the book that you write down all your filth, write down this good deed also. So he picked up his book, he picked up the pen, and when he opened the book, he found that the book was full of filthy things. And there was no place to write this good deed. So he said to the mother, Mother, my book is full of evil deeds. There is no place to write anything at all. So the mother said, My son, find some place in the margin corner somewhere, but you must write this down. So he wrote it down. It was something he did out of sincerity, because he became remorseful, and he also repented that, oh Allah, I will live my evil life, filthy life. While sleeping at night also, he was thinking about this. When he woke up in the morning with so much regret, he picked up that book to go through that book and see what wrongs he has done in his life. When he picked up that book, then everything was wiped out. The only thing that had remained in his book was that good amal that he had committed, that he had done the previous day. And with that good amal, he found this verse written in his book, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds wipe out the evil deeds. Your good deed of yesterday has wiped out all the evil deeds. Start your life afresh. In Tirmidhi Sharif, we find a similar narration narrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there was a person in the people of the past, his name was Kifl. In the Banu Israel, his name was Kifl. Again, a filthy person. So a woman came to him, can you assist me? I need 60 dinar, 60 gold coins. There is a need. He said, yes, I can give you 60 dinar. But I would like to fulfill my desire with you. She said, okay. I have no choice. I need 60 dinar. She was also in poverty. But when the actual time came to fulfill the desire, she started trembling and shaking. So he said, I am not compelling you to do this. This was as a result of mutual agreement between yourself and me. I'm not forcing you. So why are you trembling? Why do you look unhappy? So she said, I have never done this before, because I fear Allah. Allah dislikes this. As a result of this amal of this pious lady, he was affected. And he also repented. He said, I also repent from such filthy things. And he said, you take that 80 dinar with you. Take those 80 dinar with you. He repented. Now it must have been difficult. A person who was habituated to fulfilling all his unlawful desires for the past so many years, but he repented. And he made a firm resolution, just like we are all making firm resolution here tonight, that from now we will not do anything to displease Allah. We will not fulfill our unlawful desires. He made a firm resolution. And he gave 80 dinar, and he made a firm resolution. He went to sleep at night, and during the night he passed away. When the people of that locality woke up in the morning, they knew how filthy he was. He had passed away in the house. But when people, after the breaking of dawn, when people walked past his house, people saw that it was written on the top of his door, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِلْكِفْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven al-kifl. So my friends, let us go from here with this firm resolution. Let me narrate to you another incident, another interesting incident. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted this incident regarding Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala. Sulaiman ibn Yasar
رحمہ اللہ تعالی واز فرام دی سیون ٹاپ فقہا آف مدینہ منورہ, دا ویل نون سیون فقہا. ہی ود ہز فرینڈ ٹریول فرام مدینہ منورہ ٹوز مکہ مکرمہ ٹو پرفارم حج, اینڈ دے کیمپڈ ان اے اسمال ولیج کولڈ ابوا where the beloved mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is buried, Abuwa. And they set up a tent under a mountain, and on top of the mountain or halfway up the mountain was a house belonging to a Bedouin who had a very beautiful young daughter. And Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala was very handsome as well. So when her gaze fell on Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala, she fell in love with him. And she became obsessed. Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala with his other friend began consulting each other as to who should do the cooking, who should prepare the food, who should go and look for food. So it was decided that I'll look after the affairs here and you go and find food. So his friend went out. She was obsessed with Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala, so she was observing every move very carefully. When she understood that Sulaiman ibn Yasar is alone, she climbed down the mountain and went straight into the tent. When Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala saw her beauty, first gaze, he immediately controlled his gaze. In order to acquire akhirah, my friend, we have to control our base desires. So he controlled his gaze. And he thought that this is a lady or a girl belonging to a family in Abuan. She may be poor, so the father or somebody must have sent her to beg. So he started looking for food and he said, here, please take it. So she said, no, I do not want food. I want from you what a woman desires from a man. So he said, this is from Shaitan. You have been sent to me by Shaitan. And he started screaming, you have been sent to me by Shaitan. And he sat down and he put his head in his lap and he started sobbing and crying and weeping and wailing. The girl got frightened that if people come here and if they question as to what I am doing here, so she ran away. After a while, his friend returned. And he saw his face and he said, you've been crying. So he said, yes, I've been crying. He said, why? He said, I was remembering my wife and children. The people during those times were very, very sincere. They used to do much good and keep it secret. And we do little good and plus this and plus this and plus this and plus this and we continually talk to people about it. And we lie so much in praising ourselves that after 2 weeks or 3 weeks we actually believe that I did do that. We forget that this was something I made up. So he said, no, I was remembering my... So he said, no, I know you love your children and your wife and I've seen you remember your children and wife, but not like this. Look at your eyes, look at your face. It's all swollen. Please tell me. So he narrated the incident. When he had the incident, he began crying, the other friend. So he said, why are you crying? He said, I am crying out of shukra for Allah. I am crying out of shukra for Allah. Because if I was left here and if you had gone, I would not have been able to save myself. Now the first person actually saved himself. And the other person is entertaining this thought that Alhamdulillah, it was good that I did not stay here. And we sing the other way around. I wish I was here. When people talk about sinful activities, we feel deprived. That, oh, why didn't I go with them last night? Look at the difference between me and them, my friends. They travel to Makkah Mukarrama, they perform their Umrah, their tawaf, their sa'i. And one day, Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala, soon after the umrah, he was sitting in the mataf between Hajar-e-Aswad and Maqam-e-Ibrahim. And because of excessive ibadat, he was a bit tired, so
he fell asleep while sitting with his head on his knees. And in his dream, he saw Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. Who are you? I am Yusuf. Yusuf as-Siddiq. Because the Quran says, Yusuf, ayyuha as-Siddiq. Aftina Yusuf as-Siddiq. He said, yes, I am Yusuf as-Siddiq. So Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala's face brightened up and he said, I am astonished with your incident with Zulaikha. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam said, I am more astonished with your incident with the woman of Abuwa. Because I am a messenger of Allah, I am a Rasul of Allah, and a Rasul is Masoom. It was astonishing that I safeguarded myself from the seducing of Zulaikha, but your incident is even more astonishing because you are a Nabi. So people, when they control themselves, they are able to. And when we are faced with a situation and we control ourselves, Allah becomes very, very happy. Very, very happy. Let me just narrate one more incident so that it benefits all of us. Allama Abdullah ibn Asad al-Yafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned this incident also in his book At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, that a young man always fragrance of musk and amber emanated from his body. So somebody said to him that, why do you waste so much money? He said, no, I don't waste money. He said, yes, you do, because all the time your body and your clothes is full of musk and amber. You always apply so much musk, so much amber. He said, no, it's directly from my body, it's emanating from my body. So he said, what is the secret behind it? He said, that I cannot mention to you. Again, ikhlas. So he insisted. When he insisted, he said, I am a son of a businessman. And you can see that I am somewhat handsome. A young girl fell in love with me. A young girl belonging to a very rich family. So one day an old lady, middle-aged lady, came to my father's shop. I was also in the shop and she bought a lot of goods, because this old lady was prepared by the young lady for whom she was working. So she bought a lot of goods and she said, ask your son to accompany me and I will make the payment at home. So he said, okay, my son, go accompany this lady and take the payment. He said, we reached a very big mansion, very beautiful house. We entered the house. It was so beautiful, so well decorated, and there was a very, very beautiful young lady sat on a sofa. And as soon as she saw me, she came running towards me and she held me by my hand and she said that, fulfill my desire. So he says that, I knew the situation I was in. If I was to say no and if she was to scream, then people would have accused me of doing something wrong. So he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my friends, whenever we make a firm resolution that come what may, I will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us how to safeguard ourselves. So he said, Allah inspired me with an idea. So I said, can I relieve myself? So she said, yes, you can go and relieve yourself. So she told the maid that, take him to the lavatory so that he may relieve himself. He said, the lavatory was cleaned for me, because in those days there were no flushes. And when I went to the lavatory, it was clean. So he said, I relieved myself. And my own filth I applied over my body, so that I am able to safeguard myself. I applied my own filth with my hands over my body, so that if I go in front of her in this state, she will have to throw me out of the house. So he said that after applying the filth over my body, I came out of the lavatory, and when I came near her, she said, this is a mental case. He is not what he looks. Throw him out. He said, I bought some soap. I went to the river. I cleaned myself. I did not tell anybody what had happened, not even my father. That night I went to sleep, and in my dream I saw an angel. The angel said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become very, very happy with you for the sacrifice you have given. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to give you glad tidings of Jannah. And thereafter the angel rubbed some perfume on his hand. And he said, in return of that filth which you had applied over your body only to safeguard yourself from that filth which would have displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has in return given you this gift. And he said, he applied that perfume all over my body. And he said, when I woke up from my dream, the fragrance of musk and amber and even something better was emanating from my body. From that day until today, 24 hours, this nice fragrance continues to emanate from my body. So inshallah, after the dua, when we leave from here, I would urge all my friends who are here, at least perform 2 rakat, Salatul Tawbah tonight, and repent from all the sins of the past. And make a firm resolution that inshallah 2014 belongs to Allah now. And our whole future life belongs to Allah. And in order to make this easy, strengthen your heart and nurture your heart with zikrullah. Daily read 100 times. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. 100 times, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. 100 times, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. 100 times, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read a little bit from the Quran. The more you read, the better, but little bit at least. 1 ruku, 2 rukus, 3 rukus, beginning from Suratul Fatiha, leading it to Surah An-Nas. Complete the Quran. After 1 month, after 2 months, after 3 months, after 6 months, but continually on a daily basis. The Masnoon prayers that you have learnt when you were studying in the Maktab, the dua before going to the lavatory, the dua upon leaving the lavatory, that is also dhikr. So tilawat is dhikr, the tasbihat is dhikr, and also Masnoon dua dhikr. So dhikr. Number two, connect yourself to pious people, and stay away from those people who have wrong habits, and pray for them. Don't despise them, pray for them. Stay away and sit in good company, go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. So you are able to stay in good environment with good people for 3 days, 10 days, whatever you are able to do. Stay in the company of the mashayikh also. Mashayikh, those people who already have love for Allah, who already have fikr for the hereafter, who have already acquired the ability to control their base desires. Because the company has an effect. If we sit in their company, it will have an effect on us. And from them, connect yourself to mashayikh. And from them, learn how to actually make the heart zakir. Because when the heart becomes zakir, and when the heart begins to remember Allah, when the mind is aware of Allah all the time, then to control your base desire becomes very easy. So we need to do this inshallah. And before leaving from here, after the program, please I urge all of you to either perform 2 rakat here, or when you go home, perform 2 rakat and repent to Allah. And after repenting, just go to sleep. Tonight, don't engage in any worldly activity. Wake up in the morning, come back for Fajr, and make a fresh start, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to abstain from anything, any minutest thing that will bring His displeasure. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to do everything that brings His pleasure. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.